This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
Good morning, DCR.
Got the number one pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Call him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Reed, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey. We fight, we grind, we fam, we believe, we belong, we here.
We ain't going nowhere. We ain't going nowhere.
Good to Thursday morning. You're listening to DCR. We're live every weekday morning, 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Give us a call at 1-800-919-3776. Ask Dave how he's doing. He loves it. You got me, Rick DiPietro. You have Super Bowl champ, a man that has his boundaries as well.
You can't touch another man's meat.
That's Chris Canty. And, of course, pound for pound, the best sports talk radio show host on the airwaves, a man who refuses to sacrifice comfort for support.
Actually, I have boxer briefs on right now.
Yeah, right.
That's Dave Rothenberg. We got an unbelievable show planned for you today. Your New York Knicks, even the series at one.
Go New York!
New York Islanders finish off the Penguins. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yankees and Mets both postponed. Kluber and Voit, not great news. 7:30, we got John Starks. And as always on the Thursday at 6:45, we got no observations and did it happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, let me hand the show off to the guy who invented the process.
Wait, trust the speakers!
Our fearless leader, David Rothenberg.
Oh. Wonderful job. Wonderful open. Wonderful night of sports. Knicks win. For you, I'm happy that the Islanders won. I've never been more pleased with rainouts in my entire life than I was last night with the Yankees and the Mets. And guys, here we are. The first Knicks playoff win in 8 years. Good morning, Chris Canty.
Good morning, Dave Rothenberg. I know that Rick DiPietro has got to be fired up. We had the debate yesterday about which game was more important last night, Game 6 for the Isles or Game 2 for the Knicks, and I'm glad that he didn't have to decide between one of those two teams losing because both orange and blue teams came through for him last night. So we get to put that to bed, and we get to talk about the Knicks going down to Atlanta trying to get a split, but we guarantee that we will have another playoff game at MSG.
With all the hardships that we go through as sports fans, Rick, with all the, you know, the Jets and they're winning when they shouldn't and their two-win seasons and the Knicks going year after year being a disappointment and the Mets' bizarre, you know, way that they handle themselves, you know why it's worth it? Because of last night. That's why it's worth it. This has to be not a good morning, a great morning to you, Rick DiPietro.
This is an amazing morning. It's almost like Mother Nature was like, hey, let's do you guys a solid. We're going to bring some rain. Let's cancel these baseball games so you guys can lock in on Islanders and Knicks. Dave, here's the thing, though. I got a problem with you. I mean, you start giving me, you know, multiple choice questions. I need a C. I need Islanders, Knicks, all of the above. Because I got both last night. I didn't have to choose last night.
No, you didn't. And you were dicey with both for a while.
With both.
Like, I'm sure early stages of the Islanders, you're like, here we go again. You're down 1-0. You're down 2-1. You're down 3-2. And then boom, boom, boom. And then that's it. And the Knicks looked as bad as they possibly could have. But in the end, Rick, a good night was had by you, certainly.
No, it was better than a good night, man. I mean, everything you could ask for, and you're right. I mean, it was dicey early on. I mean, Islanders get down early. It's like, oh, here we go. We're going to start chasing this game again. But they find a way to, you know, keep answering the bell. And then it was, I mean, that Nelson-Beauvillier-Bailey line was ridiculous last night. And then the Knicks, I mean, that first half, you're like, uh-oh. It was the same thing, right?
Oh, I was very upset in the first half last night.
It felt like you were going back to game one. Julius Randle was bad again in the first half. Thank God for Derrick Rose. I mean, he played at MVP level for the Knicks last night, and he played a ton of minutes. You know, guys contributed all over the place, but to start that third quarter, it looked like a different team. Completely different team. Like, the pressure all of a sudden, something, whatever was said in the locker room, like, you know what, like, everyone take a deep breath. It can't get worse than this. Let's just go play basketball. right? Come out, Randle hits that three. And then as soon as he started making that three, things started to open up for him. And then the defense kicked in, man. I mean, they didn't even say this. I mean, at the end of the game, I'm watching, I didn't even sleep last night. I'm watching the post game. They're talking about, last 18 minutes. The Atlanta Hawks didn't make a field goal in the last five minutes of that
right?
game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Capella ties it up, and then it was at that point, it was it. They didn't score another. I mean, they had one free throw. That was it for the rest of the game.
Yeah, they shut the water off on that Atlanta Hawks offense, and I think a lot of that had to do with the defense that we got from Reggie Bullock last night, because I thought he was amazing, especially in those pick and roll situations, him and Taj Gibson working in tandem. But Rico, you talked about things changing in the second half. To me, the biggest difference was starting Derrick Rose rather than going with Elfrid Payton for those 4 or 5 minutes. I mean, you saw it early on in that game, even with Elfrid Payton trying to be aggressive, he just didn't have it. And the Atlanta Hawks defense doesn't respect him, which frees them up to double up on Julius. And you just saw things open up for Julius because Derrick Rose is on the court. And Tibbs talked about it in the postgame. He said it. He said, when Derrick Rose is out there, it's another shooter. It makes the defense have to play Julius a little more honest. And that freed him up to be able to get his offense going and then become more of a playmaker and get into the flow and be the guy that we're used to seeing. So I think that a lot of this had to do with Derrick Rose being on the court in that second half in terms of them getting that turnaround.
Well, here is Tom Thibodeau discussing just that on changing starters for half number two.
We started out slowly, and then our bench came in and played pretty good, and then we closed the second quarter slowly. So I just wanted to change it up. I felt like we had to do something different, and that's why you have a bench. And those guys came in, and they played great, and I thought they played great in the first half. So I wanted to give us a different look, and it was a plus.
Rose was great last night. He's better this time around than he was the first time around. I can't believe you're getting this version of Derrick Rose right now. And I can't believe that he can give you 39 minutes a night. Now, I worry that if you're going to play him like this throughout the series that he's going to wear down. But right now, I mean, he was great last night. He was phenomenal. He changed that game in the second half.
Yeah, but to your point, though, too, I mean, this is with a couple days off, right? I think it's warranted to be a little bit, concerned. I don't think we need to spend today talking about that.
No, today should be a celebration, but yeah. I think that there are concerns about what's going on.
Well, you played Sunday. So, you had the week off leading into game one, right? So you're like, okay, we can extend Derrick Rose knowing that we play Sunday and we won't play again until Wednesday. There was enough time for him to kind of recuperate and be back. That's going to change now because you play Friday. He's not going to have as much time to kind of get his legs freshened up and everything else. But you're not wrong. I mean, he's over the... throughout the course of that game, he was, he kept you in it early. And then, to have the turnaround that you had in the third quarter, and it was a slow start. I mean, you had some, like I mentioned, Randle had the three, Barrett had a three, D. Rose hits a three, but there were still, early on in that third quarter, they didn't look great. There was some confusion. Randle had that one play where, I was like, where are we? You got Derrick Rose standing out to his left. You got R.J. Barrett standing to his right, and he throws it into the crowd. He passes it into the crowd.
Yep.
And
yep.
I was like, oh, God. We got to, come on, guys, let's turn this thing around. And then, you hit seven threes in the third quarter. Randle finally gets it going. And then, defense, like Chris mentioned, what Bullock did to Trae Young, laziest name in professional sports. He was great in the first half, struggled in the second half. John Collins, with the early foul trouble, he killed them too. He was useless yesterday for the Hawks. But I'm not going to complain. I'll take it, man. Dave, you're talking about the first playoff win in 8 years. And that place was crazy when Toppin got that lob and dunked it. Like, I couldn't even imagine being in that building. Crowd is going crazy. They're chanting Obi. You got his mom's crying in the stands. The place was, electric.
Yeah, it really was. It was sensational last night. Last night was one of those moments where you'll remember for a long time. It was really special. Now, for me, I'd like a little more creativity with some of the chants. I don't appreciate the bleep you, Trae Young, or that you're balding or whatever it is. But whatever, I think
balding is better.
Right, I don't mind the balding.
Yeah,
part.
Balding is better.
Yeah. Nah, it's better. It's not great though.
Yeah, but it's
what are you gonna say?
The former one though, right?
Yeah. The first one was pathetic.
Unless you actually release birds in unless James Dolan okays.
Yes, doves. Doves fly down from the rafters of the Garden.
I don't care what kind of bird it is. Just release birds.
This is New York. There's not going to be doves.
Yeah, pigeons. Just paint some pigeons white.
Dirty
pigeons.
Dirty, rabid pigeons.
We'll get that lady. We'll get that lady over by the studio.
The lady on 66th Street with the with the breadcrumbs and the loaves of bread. She'll throw them towards his hair, his balding hair.
Maybe they'll think it's a nest.
Yeah,
see, I wouldn't even mind that though. Like, listen, like how many times like just walking up to like when I go into the garden as a player, like and you walk up the ramp and everything else, like it's wide open. Like you could easily see a bird somehow finding its way into the garden. Like I wouldn't be upset if just I don't know by chance next time, you know, game five back in the garden, a bird happens to fly into the Hawks dressing room.
Oh, how great would that be?
Oh, it'd be awesome.
Freak him out. Now, I don't think anybody loves birds, right? Like no one is like, oh, I adore the pigeon. No, but I mean this fear of the bird. Who has this terrible fear of birds?
It's a legitimate fear. I mean, it's diagnosed. I think it's a phobia.
I think you got to get birds in
there. Well, with hair like that, I'd be a little concerned the birds start stealing it for nests.
Yeah.
Nesting
setting up shop in his hair at some point, right? But last night was it was special. It really was. It was awesome. The garden was electric. And then they get this 10-point lead, and I'm like, all right, we can relax a little bit. And before I even have a chance to get excited, it's a tie game again. It's like, oh, my God. It's they make nothing easy.
Yeah, but they were down 13. I mean, at the half, they're down 13.
I know.
So I get what you're saying. Like at that point, you're like, okay, let's coast home. But you knew that wasn't going to be the case.
No, I don't. I didn't know that. When they got up 10 in the fourth quarter, I thought there was a good chance that it would never become a one possession game again.
See, I did. I always thought at some point. I mean, it's the NBA, man. Everyone's going to make some sort of run. That's how you respond to it. And the Knicks responded. I mean, You didn't allow a field goal in the last 5 minutes of the game.
Thank God for that. It felt like Trae Young was on the bench for a long time in the fourth quarter.
It did, didn't it, Dave? It did. But, you know, when he came back in, they went on that 9-0 run, and they ended up tying it up at 91 with like 2 minutes to go. So, I mean, it was a closely contested game. And based on how the first half went, I wouldn't have been able to see the second half being that close, being that competitive. But I got to give credit to this Knicks team. They found a way to be able to punch back, and I thought Tibbs made some adjustments defensively in that second half that gave the Hawks a little bit of trouble. Like, they forced Trae Young to go to his left. They picked their spots to throw some traps at him. Like, I just thought that Tibbs did a great job of keeping that offense off balance. And then, you know, Derrick Rose being able to get some juice to the Knicks offense, being able to break down the defense, being able to spot up and knock down some shots. I thought he was a huge factor in terms of them being able to kind of get their offense going in the right direction. So you're questioning whether or not he's able to play that amount of minutes, and I think that's a legitimate question, especially with not having as much rest between Game 2 and Game 3 as you did between Games 1 and Game 2. But, I mean, at this point, you're fighting for your season, and Derrick Rose is going to have to be a huge factor if the Knicks are going to indeed try to beat the Hawks in advance to the second round.
Oh, 100%. Here is Derrick Rose after the game. How you feeling after 39 minutes of play last night?
I'm good, man. Like I said, I prepped myself for this, man. I've been working my butt off for a couple of years now, just prepping myself, getting my body right. I take care of myself pretty good. I don't want to say too much about that, but, yeah, I don't want to jinx myself. But, yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, 39 minutes, 26 points, the one guy that was efficient, right? I mean, Bullock was efficient last night, but Randall was not, and Barrett was not, and you rarely do get anything from Noel, and Elfrid Payton was, you know, and this is kind of what he is at this point, and Burks did not shoot great like he did in game one, but you know what, all in all, you'll take it, you get the win, you split at the Garden, and you just got to do the same down in Atlanta. You got to go down there, and you have to split these two games.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're right. And it was another game where the bench outscored the starters.
What, they have 55 points from the bench last night?
Mm-hmm. The bench, yeah.
Yeah,
the bench
55.
Had 55,
that's
starters at 46.
A lot of points from a bench.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of points. But, I mean, the Knicks dominated the paint. I mean, I know going into the series, Dave, one of your concerns, you pointed to Clint Capela and the rebounding.
Yeah, scares me.
Well, I mean, the Knicks out-rebounded the Hawks last night. They dominated the paint. So, I mean, it was all good things. Defense was great. And I would imagine that going down to Atlanta will help Julius Randle a little bit.
Takes the pressure off a little bit, being in front of the home crowd, not having that juice.
Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
He'll be able to slow it down a little bit more. And he starts making threes. I mean, again, as soon as he started making threes last night in that second half, all of a sudden things started to open up for him. Because now you're pulling your defender out a little bit. Like he's got to honor that three, and now he can break down the defense, soften him up, get in the paint, and then distribute.
I feel like he's dribbling a lot, though, again.
But, He has to, though, Dave. I mean, he really has. I mean, they're going to say, if you're going to send, like, he's the focal point of their offense. So the defense is geared towards sending double teams at Julius Randle. So you're going to open up open looks by him passing out of the double teams. Just got to hope he doesn't turn it over.
Yeah, I know that's the hope.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Mike in Rockland, lead us off this morning. Mike, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning. Guys, yo, Rick, please ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Let's go, baby! I'm sorry. I had to be on my truck by 2:30 in the morning. I watched the game in full, so you do the math. You know, driving down to Maryland, coming back. Just first time I'm celebrating the win, so sorry, I had to get that on my system. But I really think it's going to take the Knicks hitting a lot of outside shots to win this game, to win this series, excuse me. Because they're packing the paint on Randle. He had a bad first half. No excuses for him. He's got to play better. But in the second half, he started making a couple outside shots. He started going a little relentlessly to the paint. It worked. They were hitting their outside shots. Dude, when Reggie Bullock hit that three-pointer to go up four, I swear, if there was ghosts in the room, I would have knocked them out. I was punching the air so hard. Ooh, that's all I got for you guys. Candy, I got a question for you. How do you feel about Rosenberg in a care package and you not?
I feel a way about it. I can't even lie. I feel a way about it, Mike. But I'm not going to be negative. I'm going to focus on the positive, which is the Knicks getting a big win. They had to win game two. We said it was a must-win situation, and now they're going down to Atlanta. We'll see what happens in game three. That's a pivot point in the series. But you feel good that you know you guaranteed another playoff game at MSG, and you just hope that Julius Randle at some point in the series gets it going. Like, I don't see the Knicks being able to sustain what they did last night. And we all know that role players play better at home than they do on the road. So I think Julius Randle getting going, because he is the engine of this team, is going to be huge for them when the series shifts down to Atlanta.
Not spending too much time, but you still haven't received the Knicks care package yet?
No, I haven't, Dave. Really? I haven't. I don't know why you want to keep bringing it back up, because it's a sore spot.
I didn't bring it
and
back
I
up.
I want to be on the good side of things. I want to root for the Knicks. But I can't help from feeling a way about it, because everybody at the station got some swag except me.
Yeah. Steve Hardy.
Tell him to bring me my money.
Out in his Knicks paraphernalia. All right. I think it's been like 8 years in between calls, because he only calls when the Knicks are rolling along, which is happening now. Ron in Baltimore. Good morning, Ron.
Good morning. Oh, man. Dave, game ball goes to Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson for me. Those are the two guys that have been with Tibbs, and in my opinion, they changed the game in the third quarter. It's nice to see Obi's mother on the screen. I think that was a really cool moment. She was crying. I was happy for the kid. We never get out in transition, Dave, but we got some easy baskets. We were able to get some. I think the pace of the game changed, like I said, with Rose. Randle, Dave, I think it is smart to get the ball to him in the middle of the floor, because on the wings they can bring that quasi double team with Capella, where he doesn't come hard to Randle, and Randle saw the floor a little better when in the middle of the court. This is going seven games. These two teams are dead even. I think the Knicks are going to win one in Atlanta at least. Randle's got to see the floor better. He's got to play better. I think the Elfrid Payton thing, I don't really even care anymore, because I trust Tibbs. He'll yank him early. I don't know if Rose can keep it up, Dave. I'm with you, but
I don't know, man.
Close to 40 minutes, man.
Ron, thanks for the call. 39 minutes from Rose is just—it's a lot. And then you're going to play—you're going to travel. Then you're going to play Friday. Then you get one day off. Then you're going to play Sunday. Now, Game 5, I think, is after another 2 days off. But I mean, Rick, just go down there and find a way to split. I don't care if you lose by 50 in Game 3. Just find a way to split these two games in Atlanta.
Yeah, you have to come back for Game 5 tied at 2.
Yep.
Here's the thing, though. I mean, the Hawks, I mean, Clyde mentioned it last night. I mean, to finish off the season, the Hawks are 19-2 at home. So they're going to have their hands full. But I honestly believe that it's going to do, especially Julius Randle, some good getting away from the crowd, which is great. Crowd was awesome. You heard, I mean, how they picked him up in the third quarter, and they rode that momentum, that intensity throughout the game. But as far as Julius Randle is concerned, because he was not good again in the first half, he's got to, I think, being away from home, kind of taking a step back, will help him a lot.
I think also having another offensive threat out there at the point guard spot, like having Derrick Rose out there to begin the half, I just think it makes a difference in terms of him being able to get in the groove. I don't want to put too much on it, but, I mean, we talked about it. Julius Randle came out in the second half. He knocked down that first three-pointer, and it just felt like the lid came off the basket for not only him, but for that Knicks team. I mean, they had 7 three-point makes in the third quarter alone. I think they had that 16-2 run that really brought them back into that game. Because before that moment, I mean, this team was drawn for dead. Like, I was sitting there thinking about blaming Bill de Blasio for the game two loss.
I was getting angry last
just because of the
night.
First half that Trae Young had. But, I mean, the fact that Derrick Rose did start that second half, it felt like he was the catalyst. And then Taj Gibson was another one of those, you know, X-factor type of guys that made a huge difference. You look at his stat line, you wouldn't think much of it. But Taj Gibson was plus 23 last night. I mean, the offensive rebounds that he had in the fourth quarter, the second chance point opportunities, all of those tap backs, the blocks, the steals, all of those things played a role in the Knicks being able to get extra possessions and take away possessions for the Atlanta Hawks. And I don't think you can overstate how important he was to that win last night.
Let's go to Anthony in Stony Brook. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning, boys. Let's skip the intros and everything. I just want to say I am so pumped. I did not sleep a second last night, and every time I woke up, I had a smile on my face. I was so pumped up last night.
Well, you just said you didn't sleep. Hang on a second. You said you didn't sleep, but every time you woke up, you had a smile on your face.
I was rolling around, Dave. Okay. You know what I mean.
Right.
But, Rick, I woke up at 4:55 today because I could not miss the intro, and you nailed it, by the way.
Absolutely
crushed it.
Thank you.
I have a few things I want to say quickly. Bullock, first off, I loved when they put him on Trae Young. He was fighting through screens. They were trapping him at the top, getting the ball out of his hands. That was so important, I felt like. Number two, Randall. The second half when he started attacking right away, he didn't wait till they were coming at him. He just got the ball and he attacked, and he looked so much better when he was doing that. And then number three, is there anything we could say about Taj Gibson, man? Like, forget the box score. That guy is such a veteran, a Grizzly veteran. We need guys like that, man.
Well, that's why he's here. I mean, again, that's why he's here. That's why, you know, Tibbs brought him in for exactly what you saw last night. I mean, he was one of the reasons why you won last night.
Yes, he was a huge reason. But it's all it's the Bullocks of the world. It's the Taj Gibsons of the world. I mean, Nerlens Noel makes plays. I mean, there's a lot of unsung heroes with this team. We know that Rose was great, and we know that Randle was better in the second half, and has to be great for them to win a lot of games. But it's that second tier player that's really stepped up for the Knicks so far.
But that's what they have, isn't it? I mean, isn't that what the Knicks are comprised of?
Yeah. Yep. You got Alec Burks in game one, right? You got Bullock in game two. You got Taj Gibson in game two. It's like every night there's a different second tier player that steps up.
But they've needed it, though. I mean, when your star is not playing, I mean, when Julius Randle, the most improved player in the NBA, your all-star, probably be all-NBA, isn't playing at that level, other guys are going to have to step up. And last night, you're right. I mean, Gibson was great. Thank God for Derrick Rose. I mean, he kept him in that game early. Derrick Rose was awesome. Reggie Bullock finally came around in the second half, started making threes. Obi Toppin, which is awesome to see. Like, for him to all of a sudden have...
For so many reasons.
So many reasons. But the regular season, it's like, this guy, you can... Like, Tibbs couldn't even play him. Like, it was tough to even play him. And now all of a sudden, I mean, it looks completely different. Like, he was built for this moment or something. Like, he's now all of a sudden taking it to this different level we haven't seen yet.
He does add an energy, and he is certainly crazy athletic, and that's been a nice surprise the first couple of games of the series.
Yeah, I mean, him and Quickly playing with a lot of confidence, so I mean that's a good sign, and you hope that those guys can continue to build off of the performances they had in the first couple of games. But I mean, the biggest question is how you're going to get Julius Randle going earlier in those games, because I don't think the Knicks can afford to keep putting themselves in double digit deficits in this series against the Hawks, knowing how good this team is, and knowing how the Hawks can score points in bunches. I don't think the Knicks can keep affording to do that and expect to fight back in these games. Like, it's at some point, you're going to run out of gas. So I think it's imperative that in these road games against Atlanta that they get up to faster starts. And to me, that would suggest a little bit of a shakeup in the starting lineup. But we'll get to that stuff. Today is the day we want to celebrate the win in game two.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @DCR on ESPN.
Rick DiPietro consumes more media than anyone on this planet.
Great point, Rick. It's another genius point by you.
And these are his knobservations.
We could have called it Rick's observations, but, you know, it's Rick we're dealing with here.
Yeah, let's go testy and then knob.
Here's your host, Rick DiPietro.
All right, here we go. Thursday edition of Knobservations. Going to try to battle through Dave Rothenberg today and have maybe the best observations of the entire month. We're going to try here. See if I can do it. Maybe this will put me in a better mood. So, Washington Capitals win a Stanley Cup with Barry Trotz. You'd think maybe they would re-sign Barry Trotz. No, they decided not to. They gave him to the Islanders. What has happened to the Washington Capitals since they've won that Stanley Cup? They have now lost three straight first-round series since they decided it wasn't important to bring back Barry Trotz. And the Islanders, you want to play some Barry Trotz sound, Dave, during this Knobservations? You got any of your fingertips? You want to bust out? So now Dave's not going to participate in Knobservations. This is what we're doing today?
What happened? Are you doing something?
Okay, wow. This is what we're doing now?
Is that what the problem is?
This is what we're doing now?
All right, go ahead.
All right. No, all right. This is fine. Me and Ken do the observations. You lay out.
Trust the speakers!
Santi, get the sound ready for a little Russell Westbrook. I think anyone watching last night, Russell Westbrook, during the fourth quarter of last night's game, left with an injury, and as he was on his way out, one of the fans decided it was a good idea to dump popcorn on to Russell Westbrook. They had to hold him back. Security held him back, and this is what he had to say after the game.
Let me be honest, man. This is getting out of hand, especially for me. The amount of disrespect, the amount of just fans is doing whatever the they want to do. It's just, it's out of pocket, man. It's out of pocket. Seriously, like, any other setting, you know, I'm all for the fans enjoying the game and having fun. And, you know, it's part of sports. I get it. But there's certain things that cross the line. Any other setting, I know for a fact that fans and they wouldn't come up and a guy wouldn't come on the street and pour popcorn on my head because he know what happened. A guy wouldn't come up to me and talk mess about my kids and my family on the street because the response would be different. In these arenas, you got to start protecting the players, man.
Yeah, it's too much. I mean, I know you guys didn't like the F Trey chant. Like, at a certain point, like, enough is enough. Like, that's too much.
Yeah,
you can't. I mean, throwing popcorn at Russell Westbrook. That's
the Sixers fans took it to a different level. You guys know that ran me hot yesterday. Like, I just don't understand the sense of entitlement. How you think you paying for a ticket affords you the opportunity to throw something on a player? Like, it's absolutely ridiculous, man. The NBA has to do more to make sure that kind of stuff doesn't happen. And those people that do things like that, they should be prosecuted.
That fan should never be allowed to go to another Philadelphia 76ers game. I'm all for being passionate. I'm all for being excited. I'm all for loving your team. But you're going to throw popcorn on a player from another team is disgraceful. And something needs to be done about it, really. And you know what? It's no surprise that it happened in Philly. None.
Shots at Philly. Here we go. All right. So this is – I thought this was funny.
If I had said to you, a guy had popcorn thrown at him – in what city? Where would your first guess have been?
Probably Philly.
Okay, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, Philly's right there. So, kind of same type of story. So, Paul Felder, UFC's Paul Felder, he retired, right? And he was going through some of his funny tweets. So, some guy on Twitter says to him, "Stay retired, Paul. You're a better commentator than a fighter." And so, he responds to the fan, "Does it make you feel good saying that? Now, would you say that to my face, man to man?" Guy responds, "Nope, you'd kick my ass. That's why I said it on Twitter."
That's great.
Oh man. My gosh. That's actually
speaking
good.
Of Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, too, and how sometimes it's... You got to use Twitter for the right reasons, right? Like, sometimes it can just be too much. Did you see what happened with Yamamoto's wife pitching for the Mets?
No, I hadn't seen that.
No, what
happened? Yeah, so he had that game where he had the 5-run inning, didn't pitch well, and people on Twitter decided it was now okay to attack his wife. So he had to actually come out on Twitter, and this is what he said. "I'll address this once and once only. I know Twitter is sometimes not a very nice place, and to some of you it may seem fun to troll people, but you don't go and harass my wife. She isn't the one playing the game, nor wearing the uniform. If you should be trolling anyone, it should be me. Tag me, comment me on my post. It's my fault and my fault alone. I gave up those five runs. My own errors and lack of focus got away from me in that inning. So don't go and harass her.
Oh my God.
Because I understand as a professional athlete that comes to the territory, but our family and spouses did not sign up for that. Then there was more, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah, here's what I don't understand about the Mets fans going after him and his wife. Like, if you watch that game, you realize that the two runs were on him. But, I mean, if Lindor has a better throw, maybe they can turn two. You're talking about getting out of that inning with only giving up two runs and not five. I mean, if you want to go after anybody, why not go after the guy that you gave $341 million?
But who cares if he allowed 15 runs? You're gonna attack the guy's wife? I mean, what is the matter with these people?
I don't get
this
it.
This is, I mean, they because they're,
come
I mean, like,
on.
But like that one tweet I read, like, would you say that to my face? No, because you'd be like, it's.
Right. Twitter allows you the platform of doing whatever you want with very little, if any, repercussions.
Yeah. Twitter gangsters, virtual gangsters, Dave.
It's awful, though.
Virtual gangsters.
I mean, come
gangsters.
On. Attacking the guy's wife?
It's
so disrespectful.
Speaking of getting attacked, this is courtesy of the All the Smoke podcast. Lamar Odom was on it. So during the podcast, he said that when he played Dallas, Cuban at one point, Mark Cuban, kicked him on the shin to motivate him to play better. So he says in the podcast, if Vince Carter wasn't there, I would have beat his ass. Mark
Cuban. Wouldn't think that Mark Cuban would do something like that, though. Like, of all the owners in professional sports, it's just Mark Cuban doesn't strike me as the guy.
I would think that'd be like a Daniel Snyder kind of move.
Yeah, exactly. Somebody like that.
Well, I just think it was like kind of like him thinking like he was like a part of it. Like not like kicked him hard, but like kicked, like kind of bumped him on the shin. Like, come on, man, let's go. You got to play better. Like, did Mark Cuban feel like he's like part of like,
yeah, like
part
like
of the team?
He's the 16th guy on the team?
Yeah.
A kick on the shin does that though, Rico?
No, obviously not, but he doesn't
know. Yeah, I'm about to say. Like, I can understand like kind of giving him an elbow, like kind of like, all right, come on, let's go. But a kick on the shin, that just seems, I don't know. Seems a little odd.
It's too much. Yeah, you got to know your boundaries. A couple quick ones before we get to this whole Brooks Koepka, DeChambeau, Phil, Tom Brady stuff. Kristaps Porzingis was fined $50,000 for violating the rule prohibiting players from going to into any bar, club, lounge, or similar establishment, regardless of vaccination status. Couldn't help himself. I had to go to a strip club. $50,000 fine.
Yeah, I'd like to say I'm surprised, but I'm not.
No. Here's another funny one. I thought this was hilarious. So... Rajon Rondo was asked by Steven Jackson, where does the name Rajon Rondo come from? Rondo says, my mama just make blank up.
Rajon, it's a homemade name?
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
They did, the whole story on Jalen Rose.
Jacoby?
No, Jalen Rose. But no, there's a whole special on Jalen's name.
You're right, that his name is made up by his parents,
yes.
Right? Or his mom?
Yes. All right, Santa, give me the... this was the Brooks Koepka sound that's been going all over the place. Him, DeChambeau's walking behind him at the PGA Championship.
Golf course was asking a lot from you today, Brooks. What were you able to do well and put up that nice number?
Just ball struck my way around this place. Didn't putt well, but I don't think many guys are going to putt well with this wind. It's very tough. I don't know what other guys have said, or I just felt it difficult to read. You know, sometimes I lost my train of thought. Yeah, hearing that.
All right, let's begin. We're starting over.
So you can hear the spikes behind him, right? That's DeChambeau walking behind him.
Yep.
And everyone was trying to figure out what he said. If you listen close enough, he says he's talking about, you know, how he didn't putt well because of the wind. DeChambeau walks behind him and says, maybe you should hit it on the right line. Like trolling, maybe you should hit it on the right line. That'll help. Hit it on the right line. Maybe your putt's
great, though. I love
it. Awesome. Okay, so now it gets announced. So there's a bunch of memes going around about that. Like, they take a still shot of his reaction, and DeChambeau is walking behind it. Mm-hmm. So they announced that DeChambeau is going to team up with Aaron Rodgers to go up against Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. So Tom Brady tweets out, you got the two old guys going against the young bucks at Phil Mickelson. DeChambeau better get used to laying up because we know Aaron Rodgers isn't going for it. So that's
wow. That
shot one. That goes back to the NFC Championship game,
yeah,
not going
wow.
for it on fourth down.
Yep.
Right? So then Brooks Koepka tweets at... He tweets at Aaron Rodgers, sorry, bro, about having a play with Bryson DeChambeau. And DeChambeau responds, It's nice living in your head rent free.
So I love it.
But then, it keeps going.
It's great. I hope it never stops.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And this real is exactly beef what with golfers. How about that?
But how great is that? Tell me that you wouldn't be more inclined to watch. You guys might not because you love it anyway. But for me, someone that doesn't really watch golf, this is entertaining. I would be more inclined to watch it.
Could you? I'll tell you what. Because it's set up the way that it's set up, if you somehow find yourself with a DeChambeau, Koepka final pairing on a Sunday, the rating will be through the roof.
Through the roof.
All right, here we go. Give me the DHIF.
A man's naked behavior outside of his South Florida home, all caught on camera.
Caught on camera in Florida.
Did it happen in Florida?
That was a man in swim trunks who appeared to fall out of the sky.
The man was arrested for riding his bicycle on the front lawn of a neighbor's home and telling a woman inside he was an FBI agent.
What's the deal, man? Why are you naked?
All right, here we go, fellas. Did this happen in Florida? The story that I should be doing, I can't do on the radio. If this was like some kind of podcast where we could say nasty things, I mean, it's just, you don't even believe it. It involves, you know, things that I can't even speak of, but it's a crazy story. But I'm going to give you this one because this one's a good one, too. A zoo goer has been fired from her job at a law firm because she thought it was a good idea to be filmed climbing into a spider monkey enclosure and trying to feed the monkeys flaming hot Cheetos.
She wants to feed the monkeys flaming hot Cheetos?
Yes, on a video posted on Instagram on Saturday.
And this
This is an attorney, went into, well, I don't know what, it doesn't say attorney. She has a job at a law firm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All
right. She's in the exhibit with spider monkeys Libby and Sunday near a waterfall trying to feed the spider monkeys flaming hot Cheetos. And this
there's so much wrong with that.
Oh, yeah, there's so much wrong with that.
So much wrong with that.
So obviously she gets kicked out of the enclosure. No one was hurt, but the people at the zoo, this is stupid. It's lucky.
Dumb.
You're screwing up the relationship, the trust that we have with these animals. They're on special diets, and you want to give them flaming hot Cheetos?
Well, she wanted to watch them freak out.
That's what she wanted. Yeah. Well, yeah. Why else would you jump into a spider monkey enclosure?
Which in its own right is a questionable life decision.
Yes. Going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Chris, you want to lead off with this one?
Yeah, it's odd, but I don't think it happened in Florida, so I'm going to say no, it didn't happen in Florida.
Wow, no Florida.
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is a U.S. story, but I'm going to say not Florida.
Not
well.
Florida. Santiago. Yeah. Florida, not Florida.
How does somebody like this pass the bar, first of all?
Well, we don't know that she's an attorney. She works at a law firm, right?
Okay,
at
so
a law
she firm. Could be a paralegal. Okay. I'll say not Florida.
God, you guys are all right. That's El Paso. That's El Paso Zoo in Texas.
That now it makes more sense. Texas.
Paso Zoo in Texas.
Why do you say that, Dave?
Well, because I think Texas is one step away from Florida.
Texas is fast advancing on the Florida territory.
I think next Friday we might start D-Hit.
D-Hit?
D-Hit. Did it happen in Texas, yeah.
I told you, they got that monkey. Cassie used to go to this place in Florida where they got the monkey that smokes cigarettes.
Seriously,
I'm not even joking. The monkey sits there and smokes cigarettes all the time.
I know it's true. All right. Is that it?
That's
right?
It.
You just have the one, right?
No, that is it.
All right. Very well done.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts. This is DCR.
2 seconds and one. Game two to the Knickerbockers. And we've got an even series in this first round matchup.
I love this team.
They had to win game two. We said it was a must-win situation.
We're going to make runs. Got to keep fighting.
I knew the second half would be a great fight, and there was.
Julius Randle, left wing for three. Nails it. And boy, did he need that.
Who we are as a team, we're never going to doubt whether we can win a game or not.
This is DCR.
New York, we here.
On 98.7.
I want to hear it after every Knicks win. DCR 98.7 ESPN presented by Progressive Insurance. It's a great day. I mean, the Knicks with a tremendous win at home last night. The Islanders for Rick with a tremendous win at home last night. The Islanders move on. The Knicks even the series. Fans are very excited and passionate. Let's go. 800-919-3776. You couldn't be in a better mood today, right, Rick?
Couldn't be in a better mood. Could not be in a better mood. Took like a 15-minute break.
Listen, you were sleepless. You needed a few minutes to gather yourself, and I think you did for Did It Happen in Florida and Observations, and now we have a big 7 o'clock hour. John Stark's going to join us at 7:35 this morning, so this is going to be a big hour for us.
Yeah, it's a huge hour. It's a big day. It's a big day. Both teams win. It's almost like I'm watching the K show, and Don makes the announcement that the game gets postponed. The first thing I thought of...
I was so happy.
No, but the first thing was like Crash Davis. You guys want a rainout?
Yep.
I'll give you a rainout. It's like, so fellas, the Knicks are playing tonight. It looks like there could be some rain. What do you guys think? Let's shut it down. We'll play the doubleheader.
Yeah, rain. Please rain. Now we got doubleheaders all over the place today. The Mets
full day of baseball.
Food. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, you love it. I mean, if I'm a Yankees fan too, I'm a little, I mean, there was also a little bit of bad news yesterday too.
Very bad.
A little bit?
Not a little bit of bad.
Not a little bit. That's a lot of bad news.
Nice. Awful news for the Yankees. I mean, Kluber's going to be shut down for at least the next 2 months, and God knows how long Voit's going to be out for the Yankees.
Yeah, Dave, and those are two big pieces, right? Kluber is supposed to be a frontline guy. We saw him throw the no-hitter last week. We're like, man, if this guy can pitch up to that level, then you're talking about, you know, the Yankees being in a really good spot, because not only are you getting production from your bullpen, but your starting pitching is being able to hold you down. I think they went something like 37 scoreless innings from starting pitching.
They did.
I mean, the fact is now you're going to be missing a big part of that rotation, and you're going to be asking one of the young guys, whether it's Michael King or Davey Garcia, to step in, and those guys still have a lot of show and prove. So I just feel like the Yankees were finally starting to climb out of this nosedive that we started the season with. And now we get hit with this news, and then on top of that, you got Luke Voit with the strained oblique, and now him going to be out for an extended period of time. It's not good news at all. It's you know, just when you think that things have stabilized, now you get thrown a monkey wrench.
Well, no, I mean, here's the one, you know, Kay kind of alluded to this yesterday, is at some point during the season with Tyone, with Herman, and with Kluber, they were going to need. Either you started skipping their starts or whatever, you're going to have to control their innings, right? So, I mean, if Kluber does come back at some point and he's healthy, like, you're going to need him, obviously, down the stretch, but it gives an opportunity for, like, a guy like Davey Garcia to step in now and hopefully pitch well and prove that, you know, he's a guy you can rely on.
Well, Rico, let me ask you this. With Kluber being out a couple of months, doesn't that put more on Tyone and more on Herman?
Yes.
Doesn't that give you less flexibility in terms of being able to rest those guys in certain spots during the summer?
Well, no, naturally it does. But, I mean, you're going to rely on everybody. Like, it was going to be all hands on deck anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Davey Garcia is going to have to step up. Like, Michael King would have to step up. Like, there's too many innings to cover. That's going to be the story this year. You have so many innings to cover, and you played 60 games last year. And the Yankees are unique because they got three pitchers that haven't, you know, three guys in their rotation that haven't pitched.
Didn't pitch at all last year.
Yeah.
You know, one inning.
Right.
For three guys.
It is pretty remarkable. So now, Kluber, listen, long term, could this be a benefit that when you get to the postseason, he doesn't have a lot of mileage on that arm? Sure. But now you're not going to have him for, I mean, he's shut down for 4 weeks before he can throw, and then maybe another 4 weeks
at least
to get
2 months.
Himself back into. Right. So you're looking at August for this guy.
Yeah.
At a minimum.
Yeah, it's not what you want, Dave. But I guess the thing that scares me the most about this situation is, How does it not only affect your starting rotation, but how does it affect your bullpen too? Like, you know what I'm saying? Because you just can't be in a spot where you're asking the bullpen to give you a bunch of outs, you know, because you're missing Corey Kluber out of your rotation. Like, that was one of the stories that we had coming into this season. Like, the Yankees got to make sure that bullpen has enough gas in it so when we get to October, when the games are the most important, like, they're ready to perform. That bullpen is the best in baseball. Like, you'd hate for them to not be effective when it matters the most.
Yeah, I don't disagree. But, I mean, that's always, with the Yankees over the last couple of years, that's always been part of the conversation, is trying not to wear out your bullpen.
Yep, that is the conversation. 800-919-3776. People just want to talk to us, and we're a show of the people, so let's do it. Let's go to Daryl in the car. Good morning, Daryl. You're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. Man, I went, it was a great game last night, man. Rose, boy, was he good, man. He pretty much brought us over the hump, man. I just need to see more from Randall. Like, I'm watching the game last night, and he's just sloppy, man. And, yeah, he pulled it through later on, but I need more from him. And I don't know what the numbers were for Barrett. I need more from Barrett. Rose can't do it all night. And I felt at times last night, guys, I don't know if you guys watch, well, I know you're watching, but I felt like Rose, the minutes were getting to him at a certain point. The shots were looking short. And like I said, the benefit of this last night, and we got the win, great win. But we need more from the big boys if we're going to pull over the top. We're going to Atlanta. We need them. And on the second note, Rick, I'm glad you're back, man. You the man. We miss you.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. See? It's all Dave's fault.
You want to be wanted, right, Rico?
No,
you like Aaron Rodgers.
No,
you want to make sure you're wanted.
That prima donna.
That everybody in the organization understands that the people make this thing go.
No, sometimes it's the only place to be. Like, I want to be excited about the Islanders, but I don't have not enough people calling in for the Islanders. Like, all Islander fans are like, oh, you don't talk Islanders. And then when we finally get around to talking Islanders, you think the phones would be lit up with Islanders calls, and there's not. I got to talk to a disgusting Ranger fan who's just...
So I shouldn't have brought him up there. I brought him up for you. I didn't bring him up for me.
Yeah, but you brought him up just because you're trying to appease me. Like, there's no real interest. I see your face through the Zoom. Like, there's no real interest.
Well, Rico, you could talk about the Islanders in an effort to try to woo me back over to that side. Just saying,
yeah, I'm getting a lot of pushback. Yeah, here's the thing, Kent. Yeah, you know I love you, but I'm getting a lot of pushback from the Islander community. They feel like you
really?
Quit on the team, and now all of a sudden you're trying to get back.
Feel like he quit on the team? He did quit on the team.
No, he did. No, I'm just trying to be nice. Again, the way I worded it, I was trying to be nice. But there's a lot of resentment right now.
So what they're saying is I can't jump back on the bandwagon. I can't become an Islanders fan again.
In
that
the
door
moment,
is closed to me.
Yeah, they like in the you. Moment, especially because yesterday, too, you're like, oh, you're ridiculous, Rick. You should pick the Knicks win. They're like, whoa, what do you mean pick the Knicks win? Like, how about the Islanders win?
The Islanders community. I love it. Let's go. You want an Islanders call? Let's go to Devin in Yorktown. Good morning, Devin. You're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, what's up again, boys?
What's going on, my man? What's up?
Second time in a quick time. Rick, so glad you're back on the show. Can't you forgot to thank you for the Super Bowl ring. Go Giants. So, Rick, talk Islanders for me. I want to hear about this great save that we were talking about earlier. Can you wax poetic on this for a little
See,
bit for me?
This
and
is what I'm talking about.
No, please, go ahead. I'm going to go clean up dog and vomit. You discuss it.
What happens, Devin, and I'm glad you asked me this question, Devin, is you get into one of these closeout games, and you're just going back and forth. At a certain point, you like to seize the momentum. And there are times in games, game-changing plays, turning point moments. If, God forbid, Sorokin lets in that breakaway, and now you're looking at a one-goal game, could be completely different. But you know what happens, Devin, is in that moment, Ilya Sorokin steps up and makes a big save. Islanders close it out. Bring on Boston. Get this job done.
Bring on.
Yeah, bring on Boston. I don't even care.
That's it, right?
Give me
hold on,
Marshawn.
Wait,
give me all of it.
You sure? No game seven? No,
we
game
don't need
seven,
a game
right?
seven. Why even mess with that? I don't want to go back to Pittsburgh.
No, it could be one game six, right? From yesterday,
yes.
We won game six. We got what we wanted.
Come on. See the Islanders go play
of
game seven.
We
rest
wanted.
Up. Just get your rest.
So this is what you need. You just need someone that's going to say things that they agree with you. That's what you want, right?
No, I don't want agreement. I like someone that likes you want to talk about things you like with people that like the same kind of stuff.
So because I'm not a fan of the Islanders, I can't lead you to discuss them, is what you're saying.
Oh, I mean, leading someone to talk, someone or just being like, okay, Islanders, go. And then as you're talking, let's throw in a sound. Let's hear some sound.
So you didn't sense the genuine interest from Dave about the Islanders' big win last night?
It was like being a guest on a show. Hey, Rick, glad to have
on
the show. Islanders.
RJ is apoplectic right now.
Islanders, go.
RJ is apoplectic. He says, what's wrong with the sound? It was good sound.
It was good. It's just the moment when you chose to go to the sound. Like, you can't wait. You just couldn't wait.
I couldn't wait.
Let's get right to
hear
the
what Barry Trotz, my friend Barry Trotz, had to say.
He doesn't even like you, Barry Trotz. He
loves me.
He hates you.
I had a one-on-one sit-down with him last summer.
Yeah, because they paid him.
They didn't pay him anything. He did it because he loves me.
Andy from Merrick paid him. You know this. We all know it.
Speaking of Andy from Merrick, good morning, Andy from Merrick. Andy, you would agree that Rick is acting like a tremendous baby this morning, right?
Hang on, David. First of all, good morning, DCR.
That felt forced.
David. Rick is suffering from post-Penguin partum depression. He is upset that Sidney Crosby has to go home and think about this offseason now. Lay off my guy, Ricky. Okay?
Thank you, Andy. Thank you, Andy. And Andy, we know he didn't want to talk about the Islanders.
You're a big fraud, too, Andy, by the way. Big fraud. There's no way we're going to beat Pittsburgh. We can't compete with Pittsburgh. They're too good for us. The season's going to be over. Oh, why even bother showing up? Please.
Hey, Dave, do you want to hear the stat of the day yesterday?
No.
I do, Andy. I do.
71 on the golf course. That's your stat of the day, Ranger boy.
Ooh. Ranger boy.
Mm. 71,
taking
that's pretty good.
At this guy. 71's really good.
Well, let's not bury the lead there. Good for him. Let's go to Matt in Westchester. Good morning, Matt. You're next up on 98.7.
Hey, gentlemen. Absolutely, some of the best part of my day is listening to you guys in the morning. Thank you so much. As you guys probably know already, I called a couple times about the Knicks. Big fan. Been following them for years. Last night's game, you know, I am an extreme, huge, big Tom Thibodeau fan. As you guys probably already know, I called a couple times about him. I do think, though, there's an element of stubbornness now, though, with whether or not to start Rose. I think you got to see where the momentum's coming from, and you have to start Rose now from the get-go. I think we need that type of pickup from the get-go in the game. And this is not a shot on Randall, but I think the momentum, the flow kind of stems from him, and then also that second unit really getting us going when we're down. Thanks, boys.
Matt, I completely agree with that, and I appreciate how Tibbs approaches things and him being so loyal to his players. And because he's been riding with Elfrid Payton in the starting lineup all season long, wanting to give him every opportunity to try to be a part of what they're doing this postseason. My problem is it's clear at this point that he can't be a contributor to your team. And as a matter of fact, he's hurting your team. So at some point, you got to get somebody in there that can help your team, help Julius Randle get going a lot quicker in games. And Derrick Rose is the answer to that. Now, That creates another problem in trying to figure out what happens to that bench unit and making sure that that continues to be a weapon. But I just believe you cross that bridge when you get there. Like, you've seen it in a two-game sample size. Like, Elfrid Payton being in the starting lineup leads to your starters getting off to a slow start offensively. You can't afford for that to happen in Game 3.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
There are 50 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Starks! Yes! What a move by Starks, who was able to sky to the basket.
Well, the show is DCR, and our guest is going to be John Starks in just a moment. Now, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the Penzi Food Hall, located right outside of Madison Square Garden on 7th Avenue, will offer COVID-19 vaccines for any individual ages 16 and older. No appointments even necessary. John Starks will be there from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., handing out playoff gift boxes, which we receive beautiful gift boxes from the Knicks, and Chase to those receiving their vaccination. The boxes include a variety of Knicks playoff merchandise. The Knicks and Chase will continue to distribute these boxes across the city throughout the playoffs at other vaccine locations, to community centers, restaurants. In addition, fans who receive their vaccination will have the opportunity to enter a raffle to win Knicks tickets to a regular season game next year. So we love him. Let's bring him on. He, of course, is the great John Starks. He's the alumni relations director of the New York Knicks. Good morning, John. How are you?
Hey, good morning.
Listen, we appreciate a couple of moments. That was, you had to feel great about that last night, didn't you? The atmosphere, the environment, the way the Garden was just shaking and rocking kind of brought back some memories, I would imagine, huh?
Oh, brought back a lot of memories. It was just incredible last night. The energy in the Garden, obviously, is back now. Having 15,000 fans in there. Felt like a full house, obviously, and I think it was just pent up emotion. You could just feel it. Everybody was into the game. I think it truly propelled the Knicks to their win.
John, let me ask you a question. I mean, you played in that building when it was, it was crazy, huge moments. It seems like for the first two games, it may be negatively affecting Julius Randle a little bit. Like, he's too amped up. Can't seem to slow the game down. Is that something that can happen? Is that you get caught up in that and it's not easy to kind of relieve the pressure and the game starts moving too fast for you?
Well, it could happen, but I don't think that's the case. I think this has been his first playoff experience. It could. The energy from the building, it could negatively affect it, but I don't think that's the case. I think you just got to go out there and just relax and just understand that, hey, you got help. You know what I mean? Your teammates are playing very well. And you just go out there and do what you've been doing all year long and just be aggressive. And he showed that in the second half. And I think he, as this series continues to go along, the more and more he's going to get comfortable out there. And you're going to see Julius continue to do what he's been doing all year long.
John Starks, Knicks legend with us here, 98.7 ESPN. John, what would you do game three at the point guard spot? Do you roll back out with Elfrid Payton, or would you make the switch and start Derrick Rose?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. That's going to be Coach Tibbs' decision on that. He's going to do what's best for the team. You know, I think Derrick can, you know, start, or he can come off the bench either way. But I think because you don't want to, you know, burn him out, you probably, you may go back with Alfred. And but Alfred just had to get into it. I mean, he just got to know that he's not going to play long minutes. He just got to go out there and just be aggressive, both on the defensive side of the ball and on the offensive side of the ball. Just go to the hoop, do what you've been doing all year long. Nothing should change when the playoffs come. Your level of play should go up, but, you know, you still have to be consistently do what you've been doing all year long and just stick to that format.
Great. John Starks joins us on the show. John, you mentioned playoff basketball and intensity level and everything else, but for you, what did you notice? Like, what was the most noticeable difference between regular season basketball and then once you took in the step and you took the step into the postseason?
Oh man, you feel like you can just play 48 minutes and just keep going. I mean, literally, your energy level just goes to another level because you know it's do or die situation. There's no coming back from this, and so you know you have to stay focused. Everything's around you, just, you know, you shut everything off and you just know you have to, you know, keep your mind focused on the game of basketball. Nothing else matters besides your family, your immediate family, but you shut the whole world off. Nowadays, obviously, a lot of social media, you shut all that off and you just get focused in on and what you're supposed to do once you take the court.
Alumni relations director, the great Knicks legend John Starks with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I thought they did a great job in the second half on Trae Young. How do you replicate that from what you did in the second half into games three and games four, John?
He's tough. He's definitely a tough defend, as you know. He's very shifty. They had a lot of good looks in the second half. For whatever reason, they just didn't knock them down like they did in game number one. So you can't give them that down in Atlanta because those will fall down there. So you just have to know you have to close all the way out to them, and you have to make them a driver and a willing passer. You know, but he's an all-star for a reason. That's what he do. He gets in the lane. He makes things happen for his teammates. I can't pronounce the name, Bogdanović.
Yeah, it's the laziest name. It's the laziest name in sports. Bogdanović. It's lazy.
Yes. He's another problem because he's a flat out shooter and a flat out scorer. So you have to contain him. And I think they did. The energy level picked up in the second half, obviously on the defensive end of the court. But like I said, me watching the game, they still had a lot of good looks at the basket. They just wasn't falling in the second half for them. So we can't give them that down in Atlanta.
Yeah, it's amazing how the energy level picks up and the defense picks up when shots start falling for you on the offensive side. John, last one for me. Would you, I mean, just Dave talking about how good Trae has been and you know, trying to shut him down, would you go out of your way, you personally, if you're defending Trae, would you go out of your way to be as physical as humanly possible with him?
Yeah, but you have to. You have to get. It's tough to do in today's game, obviously because of the rules. But you definitely have to, you know, keep a body on him, and you have to, you know, touch him as much as possible. You can't let him, you know, run around there free. And I thought they did a better job of that in the second half. To be honest with you, it's being a little bit more physical with him. He seems to, you know, it seems to knock him off his game. But, you know, he's the type of player that if you do get physical with him, he goes to something else. But I think that's one way of just, you know, getting him to think about you. And that was our rule. Whenever a guy can score like that, you just got to hit him as much as possible.
Well, John, listen, we appreciate a couple minutes. We love what's happening with the Knicks and at the Garden, and hopefully this is going to be a win for the Knicks in this best of seven, and we'll talk to you again real soon to preview maybe a Philadelphia series at some point in the future.
Hey, that would be great. We also, just kind of mention, we have I'll be at the Pinsky Fool Hall this morning at 10:30 to 11:30. We'll be giving free vaccinations to anybody that comes at that location. It's right outside the Garden. Also, we'll be handing out playoff gift boxes, you know, presented from Knicks and Chase to anyone receiving the vaccinations. And you can enroll into a raffle to win Knicks tickets for a regular season game next year. So we want everybody who hasn't had their vaccinations to come out and get their vaccinations this morning. Actually, it's going from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Yep, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., the Penzi Food Hall right outside the Garden, and it's free for everyone. John, thanks for doing all you do for the Knicks and the community, and we appreciate a couple minutes.
All right, thanks, you guys.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left!
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.